This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at an employee seminar held on February 18, 2026 in Arthur, Illinois.
Good afternoon. There's a quote that I thought a thought, but the thought I thought wasn't the thought I thought. So I thought and I thought and I thought until I thought the thought I thought. You're going to have to do some of that 6 months from now. When you think back, you're going to have to put a lot of thought into what all was shared, or you're not going to be able to remember very much. Thank you, brethren and fellow speakers. Thought you'd done an excellent job in setting some platforms. Delmer started out this morning on the platform of gratitude. It's so important. But there was a friend that had a friend that was an atheist. And they went out to the beach one night, and they went out into the ocean. And the atheist was there splashing in the water as the sunset. It was a beautiful, beautiful sunset. And he just said, "I am so grateful." And his friend asked him, "To whom?" And that's a question I would like to ask you all, that are you sure when you're thankful and you're grateful, that you're grateful to our Heavenly Father that He has created all things for us to enjoy? But that was an excellent platform to start off of in gratitude. I may be just a little bit prejudiced here, but as I looked at the group and I noticed all the young people, I've got a real heart for young boys. I've worked side by side with young men now for about 40 years. Since I was a young man, Dad had a sawmill, and when I was 15, I was working beside other 15-year-olds and have had young teenage boys working for me almost ever since. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your interest, and I'll be maybe touching some to you. We'll let the old gray-haireds listen, but I've got a real heart for you young boys, and really like to encourage you to do right. I've told my sons I'd like for them to be selfish. Something for a dad to tell his sons. I said, I would really like for you boys to be selfish because selfish people do what's best for them. And I said, I'd really like if you would think and you'd give it thought before you make a decision, before you make a choice, what is really best for you. And you're going to have to think a little bit further than right here. And have to link a little bit further than the end of your nose when you use that concept. But before you make a choice, before you make a decision, think what's going to be best for you in the long run. Leaving a positive impact. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out his root by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Did you catch a name? Who is this fella? Who's that man? Let's read it again. I wonder who he is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I believe that's you and I, isn't it? Can we put ourselves in there? I'd like to challenge you that you would plug in to that source of power, that source of energy, so that you might be a blessing in the place that you work. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatches them not, so is he that getteth riches, not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. Some people, friends, are so poor that all they have is money. You can go through life and you can be ruthless and aggressive and get to the top and become a wealthy man, but you're going to find it's very lonely there. So make sure, especially you young fellas, when you're out working on the team, make friends. Make a good name for yourself. It's very important, because once you start down a wrong path, it's a tough, tough going to come back. Papa John has an ingredient, has a logo that says, "Good ingredients makes good pizza." I think most of us probably have that tradition, at least for ours, is Saturday evenings. We love to have some pizza and some popcorn. But it takes some good ingredients to make good pizza. And if you're going to be a good employee, and if you're going to be a good individual that brings positive impact into the workforce, then you're going to have to fill it with good ingredients. I had two sons, and as they came out of school, they wanted to work with Dad, to be there at the pallet shop, at the sawmill. And I was very careful, I was very cautious that they have a work environment that is both safe and clean. And what I mean by safe and clean is that it's a safe place, they don't lose an arm, but I was also extremely cautious that it's a place that is safe morally, with employees coming from different upbringings, coming from different cultures and different places. That's extremely important. Now I'm going to speak a little bit more to some of the gray heads. If you own a company, you are responsible that it's a safe place to work. And thank you. Norm covered that very well. It's so important that it's a clean and safe place, both physically and morally. I'd like to just reiterate and support that. Good ingredients makes good pizza. It's the same, my friends. If you want your life to shine and the love of Jesus to radiate from your innermost parts of your being, then you must feast upon His Word and have an intimate relationship with the Lord and your Savior. So important, friends, please, before you leave your room of a morning to go to work, spend a little bit of time with the Lord. I would really encourage you to do that. For output, you must have input. Was das Herz voll ist, kommt's Mund über. Most of you know that statement. And what you put in there is what's going to come out. And we need positive young men. This world is getting worse and worse. It's getting more evil. And we need men, young men, older men, that stand for truth. Attitude is a choice. So pick a good one. We do Christmas baskets, and we put that book into, it's not the picture on the cover of the book, but the title is Attitude is a Choice, So Pick a Good One. And if you have an opportunity to get that book, I would encourage you to. But so much of it is the choices that we make. We had an old successful businessman, and he would say that you cannot sell from an empty wagon. You can't give what you do not have. Okay, so if you're going to befriend a friend and you're going to encourage him in the right way, you're going to have it within the heart to be able to share it with your fellow man. You cannot think nothing. Okay, that doesn't sound like a very good, my teacher would probably rebuke me if you'd hear me say that. You cannot think nothing. If you're there standing at the nailer, we have Viking nailers, we have woodpeckers, we have gang saws. A lot of you are woodworkers, pallet shop people. And once you've worked there for a year or two, it becomes repetitious. And you can do your job and you don't really have to think what you're doing. And it gives you time to think and you can roam, and you must be disciplined in your thoughts. If you don't put forth diligent effort to think good, solid, wholesome thoughts, you will gravitate towards negative thoughts. Our mind is an amazing thing. It's amazing. My mom has struggled some with depression, and I have done a lot of studies and took her to doctors trying to see if we can't help her in her mind. And it's amazing the little neurotransmitters that are in there that signal. And when you think a little bit of negative, it excites another neurotransmitter that's negative and it grows. But it also works towards the positive. But please think thoughts of gratitude, thoughts of appreciation. And if you gravitate towards the negative, it only grows and it'll pull you down. Reliable information must proceed from a reliable source. So think wholesome thoughts. The most reliable source of all tells us to focus on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. And you find that in Philippians 4:8. There's an opposite side of that. There's a side of negativeness, of darkness, and of immorality. And I'd like to encourage you young men, and I'm going to tell you a story. The story has some humor, but I want you to look at the message of the story. And when you're tempted, if you're in a place with some friends and they start to go the wrong way, think of this story. But there was two young Amish boys that had a trap line. They run the traps, and they went out one morning soon after daylight, and they hitched up the horse in the open buggy, and they started down the road to go check their traps. As they were going along, they come by the road, and beside the road laid a suitcase. So he said, whoa, and he pulled the horse back, and the one boy jumped off and got the suitcase, and he said, boy, this thing's pretty good yet. It's only got a scratch or two. I think we can make a good one. They were going to take it home. They went checking their traps, and when they came along, the second or the third trap had a little bobcat in it, a wild, feisty little thing, and it was mad. But it wasn't mature enough to kill it and to skin it out, so they wanted to release it. So the one boy said to his brother, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw my coat over this little bobcat and subdue it. You reach underneath and release the trap, and then hold the suitcase open, and I'm going to throw it in there, and as soon as it's in there, slam it shut. Okay, they've got a plan. So these boys, they lay their coat over this little bobcat, and it struggles and hisses and carries on, and soon it's subdued, and the boy reaches down underneath and releases the claws, and the boy takes a bobcat and throws it in the suitcase and slams it shut, and such a racket in there, you ain't never heard the likes. So they take this suitcase and start on the way home, and they come into a nice straight stretch on the road, and the boy said, let's set the suitcase right beside the road here, and let's sit back and hide behind the bushes. Great idea. So they did. They set this suitcase along, very attractive. Most people wonder what's in it, even if they don't need a suitcase. They sit in behind the bushes, and here comes a four-door sedan. Stops and pulls over, and a young boy jumps out and grabs the suitcase, jumps back in the car, and slams the door shut, and down the road they go. And before they come to the first curve, the car starts to rock, and they slam on the brakes and off to the side, and they stop, and four doors open, and four young boys and a bobcat out of the car. Okay? They flee from danger. And it tells us here that we are to flee. So young boys, please, please, the devil is out to destroy. He is. He's out. He's got a plan, and he's going to wreck your life. But when you get into a position, if you have a young man, and you're in a buggy, or you're in a truck, and he shows you a Playboy magazine, or he's flipped something up on his phone, remember the bobcat and get out of there. We need strong young men and flee danger, please. Let go of past hurts and unfair acts towards you and forgive freely. We heard already today, it's going to happen. Injustice, wrongs, your friend might be promoted and you were there longer. You think life's not fair. You asked a girl and she said no, and your friend asks her and she says yes. They're difficult. I'm not here to say that life's a life of roses. It's tough. It's hard work. But if you're going to live for the Lord Jesus and you're going to stand for what's right, you're going to have to make some choices. And please forgive. There was a 12-year-old boy sitting on a park bench, and there was an older man in the park, and he was walking around the park. And as he come around, he noticed this 12-year-old boy sitting there on the park bench. And his knuckles were white, his teeth were clenched, and he was squirming around on this park bench in excruciating pain. The old man walks up to him and he says, son, is something wrong? And he said, yes, sir. And he said, what is it, son? And he said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. He said, you are. You're sitting on a bumblebee. And he said, yes, sir. He said, why don't you get off? And he said, sir, I think I'm hurting the bumblebee worse than it is me. Okay? That's what bitterness does. That's what unforgiveness does. If you're at a place to where you don't want to forgive, think of the bumblebee and think of how much more it is hurting you than you are at it. I stepped on a bumblebee when I was a boy, and I'd sure hate to sit on one. You need to take 1 week vacation. This dog represented me one day. I had an awful embarrassing moment. I was working, young married man, and was called into the office. And they told me that, Paul, that I'd like if you'd take a 1 week vacation. And I said, whatever for? I was doing my absolute best. I was working for everything I was worth, and I was giving it all I had. And I said, why do I need to go on vacation? And he said, because you seem like a dog that's backed into a corner, and every time somebody walks up to you, you snap and snarl at him, and we'd just like for you to take a week's vacation. And maybe it'll look a little different when you come back. So if you get to that place, business owners, managers, employees, if you get to a place to where you would just like to snap and snarl at anybody that comes close, make it good to pack the suitcase and leave and think it over a little bit and come back and take a fresh start at it. I asked a wise man, tell me, sir, in which field could I make a great career? It's a good question. You have those questions. You're young. In what field can I make a great career? He said with a smile, be a good human being. There's a lot of opportunity there, and in this area, there's very little competition. It's not crowded there, fellas. If you want to be a good human being, be kind and courteous and respectful. We heard a little earlier today that it's not crowded on the second mile, that extra mile. To thine own self be true, thou canst not then be false to anyone. That's a really important statement. You've been created by God. You've been created for a purpose. And by the way, it's a little higher than just making pallets. We are very grateful that people that come and work for us, but your purpose is higher than that. But do a good job while you're building your pallet. But the big part is that God has created us to glorify Him. God has created us to build the kingdom. That's what you're here for. And bless the Lord and bless your fellow employees that you work with. Flourish through an intense desire to give back to the one who has done so much for us on the cross by doing an intentional act of kindness to someone. Bare obedience ain't going to cover it. You've got a dad that says, no, you can't do this, and yes, you can do that. You can be obedient. You can be obedient to your boss. You can go to this limit or that. But bare obedience, folks, ain't going to cut it. We need an intentional desire to please the one who has died for us and saved our soul from eternal damnation. It goes much deeper than bare bone obedience. I'd like for you to encourage you. This is a little bit more, and your boss didn't pay me to say this. He didn't call me before and ask me to make some comments. But I had an uncle that had a pallet shop years ago, back in the 80s. And back then, $5 an hour was considered a decent wage. And he paid Fred $5 an hour to come work for him. So Fred came in and he worked really hard. So my uncle, and I've changed all names so you can't reflect back to anything. So my uncle Jim sees that Fred's working hard and goes out one day and gives him a raise to $6 an hour. So Fred goes out and he works harder. He's so tickled with his wage, and about 6 months later, Uncle Jim goes out and says, Fred, you're doing an exceptional job. I'm going to put you to $7 an hour. That's a lot of money back in the 80s. Fred goes back out and works for all he's worth, and about an hour later, he pops back in the door, red in his face, and he says, Jim, you cannot give me another raise because I cannot work harder. There's a moral to that story. There's merit to that. Are you worth your wage? If you want to lay down on a pillow of a sweet conscience and you want to lay there and you think back over your day's work and you feel that you've been worth your wage is worth a lot. And we're losing some of that concept among our own Amish Mennonite people. It's so important that when you go to the workforce that you're conscious that you're worth your effort. My mom's dad, my grandpa, Emery Weaver, he had the saying that if you want to steal from me, then please take my chainsaw when you go home tonight. But don't come and work for me and stand there with your hands in your pocket. It's the same. You wouldn't near take your boss's chainsaw. But if you show up and just stand there and you talk with another person that's making $10 an hour, you just soaked up $20 an hour. Get to work. You don't have to work yourself crooked, but you know what I mean. Be worth your wage. It makes for good people. I got three here. Are you a constructor, obstructor, or a destructor? What do you think of when you think of an obstructor? A constructor is first. Who's a constructor? We got men busy. We got them working. They got their safety suits on. They got their hard hats on. The tape measures are out. The scaffolds are up. And we're building a building. And they're working. A constructor is at work on time. He walks into the break room and a smile on his face, and he looks you in the eye and he says, good morning. That's very important to me. I don't like when a man walks in and says, morning. I like when he looks me in the eye and says, good morning. He puts forth diligent effort in his position. He keeps his work area clean. He makes positive comments about the company he works for, and he thanks his employer for a good job. That does me so much good. I've had young men walk up and he says, Paul, I just wanted to thank you for hiring me. I just really like working here. And I'm a better person since I work here. And that is very rewarding. And I know we as owners have to make that environment for that to be, but you also have to think about it. What's an obstructor? He comes flying in the drive right at 6 o'clock. We start at 6, and here he comes, 5:59, comes rolling in. He walks in the break room, and he doesn't say anything. He drops his lunch bucket. He grumbles about backache, working himself half to death yesterday. He does as little as possible, just putting in his time. He's sloppy at work. His hair's unkept. And here's one that's a little touchy, but I'm going to say it because I can. Your employer's not going to want to tell you this. But it's important that we're clean. It's difficult for me to walk into a cutoff cab or into a Sawyer's cab and you just about can't breathe because it smells so bad in there. Please keep yourself clean. It really means a lot to your fellow workers and to your boss. It doesn't take that long to take a shower in the morning before you go to work or take a shower when you come home. My dad, when he was a boy, he fixed his water, got the bathtub up about half full, and all of a sudden he discovered it was Friday night, not Saturday, and he let all the water down. But if you don't shower more than once a week and you wear the same shirt, nobody's going to want to work with you. We incorporated a medical thing in our business that we give 5% of gross wage. So if you make $60,000 in a year and you get 5%, then you get $3,000 that year that you can use it on for your teeth or your ears or your eyes if you need glasses. It was something that my son and an older friend put in place for daddies that had 6 or 7 children, and Susie came and said he's got a toothache, and Dad said, I know Susie, but I just don't have any money. So we put that in place. But the least I ask from my people is please get your teeth checked about twice a year. That way I don't have to offer you gum every time you come to work. But bad breath and a smell, it's not pleasant in the work environment. He's a slop at work, his hair's unkempt, talks negative about his job, life's not fair, this equipment is a piece of junk. I despise that when I'm out doing my best that I can, and I can't afford a new notcher, and I know it breaks down once a week. And they come in and say that old thing's a piece of junk. Don't talk like that. That's not conducive to a positive impact. Often us employers, we do as good as we can. Not grateful for his job and does not think he's getting paid enough. Let's look at the destructor. May surprise you a little bit. Got a little bit different note on a destructor. He's at work on time. He's pleasant to your face but makes degrading remarks in your absence. He's a smooth talker in the lunchroom. He has a way to influence co-workers and endeavors to put others down in an effort to lift himself up. He works hard. He does good work, and he seeks favor of man. He keeps himself clean. His work area is clean. He's very particular. In fact, he's critical of others. He's quick to point out faults of others. He becomes angry in stressful situations. He brags on his boss in his presence. But number 7 is one of a destructor, and that is he sows discord. He's out. and he works negatively with his fellow employees and talks negatively about the company in the absence of his employer. Sowing discord is one of the things that the Lord hates, a proud look and he that soweth discord. But that's a destructor, or someone that destroys, is one that's out and makes negative comments. He does not forgive things and he doesn't lay it down but keeps stirring it. I just despise when I have a man on my team and he doesn't last long with me if he's out there doing that kind of stuff, because we don't need those type of people on our team. But if you've got a man that just can't lay it down and he keeps stirring it, you tell him that if he wants to meet new people, if he'd like to see new places and do new things, to mess up one more time and the privilege is his. This is our pallet company that we just sold 2 years ago. I worked there for 20 years. Loved the place. It's where I raised my sons, raised the family there. And if you look, there's different notes on there. Maybe one of the employees has just lost his mother. Maybe his daughter has cancer. Maybe there's a young boy that had asked a girl and she just gave her answer and it's negative. Maybe he had an accident and one of the co-workers was hurt really bad. But be careful. Be really careful. Be kind to everyone you meet. That's a sign that's down in our basement of our house. It's a big plaque on the wall. Be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is fighting a battle that you know nothing about. We heard about them little children on the train. Really hit home with me. That's real, folks. It's real every day with people you work with. You might not have an idea. I was so astounded. One day I found out that a man that I had a pretty high respect for was a lumber grader. I found out that he sleeps in the barn because him and the wife can't get along. Never knew it for a long time. But just be careful before you make a comment. Make sure you've wore his moccasins. The Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can you get that word diligently? It's going to take an effort, friends. It doesn't come naturally. You're not going to slide into glory land. It's not going to happen. We're not saved by our works. I understand that. But we're going to get judged by them. It's a change of heart. It takes the blood of Christ and acceptance of the Lord to become our Savior. But you must diligently, daily seek him or you're going to lose out. The Lord is a rewarder of all who diligently seek him. And when you glorify your Father, you will benefit others and bring value to their life. The Bible is the most important thing that you can read in your home. Please spend time in the Word of God. Read it daily. But please do me a favor and also read two books that have the potential to change your life. I give out Christmas baskets. We go, the wife and I, we go get a big tote in Lowe's, about as big as you can carry when it's full. And I love to pile it full with pancake mix and syrup and peanut butter and whatever else you can put in there. I always put in plenty of candy for the children and disappoint the moms. But we have a Christmas basket that we give out at Christmas, and I've started putting in a book. And one year I put in Choosing Gratitude. Got a tremendous feedback. Really made a difference. When you truly have a heart of gratitude in your heart, it can change your life on how you look at things. The Energy Book. The Energy Bus is a book that you need to read as an employee. I put those books into my Christmas baskets one year, and I had a good man working for me at a sawmill. And he came to me afterward and he said, Paul, I was going to quit. I had made up my mind I was going to quit. I didn't like a few things that were at the workplace. But he said, I read that book and I discovered it was me. And he said, I'm going to stay. So sometimes when we look out into the work area, we look out into the general public, and we think there's quite a bit of things wrong. May help to stand in front of the mirror for a little while and check it out. You might be surprised who stands there. I would like to talk just a little bit about dumping the garbage. Let's go back to the garbage truck. On the first day of every month, make a conscious effort to dump the garbage. That's something that you're really going to need to do. And that's maybe for us a little bit more older. And younger is a good habit to make. But there's things that have happened in your life. I bet if we would take the time, we're not going to. But if we would take the time to let each one make an expression of something that happened in your life that wasn't fair. Something that someone did to you that wasn't right. I'd say we probably all have a story to that. But you're going to have to dump the garbage. Put it under the blood and let the Lord Jesus take care of it. But there was a taxi driver that got a call from a man that was at the airport. He said he needs to go from the airport over to the hotel and then he wants to be at a business meeting the next day. The taxi driver said, I'll be right there. So he pulls in. The man jumps in and down they go. And you know what it's like in these big cities. The driving is awful. I've been amazed at these youth that grow up in these cities, how they can whip around you and not hit you. But here comes a fella flying past them, slams on the brakes and right in front of them and almost caused an accident. Taxi driver just calmly keeps on driving down the interstate. Pretty soon, he somehow, however, the traffic made its way through the lanes, and the first thing they knew, the same fellow was behind him. And when he came up along the side, he threw the finger at him. And the taxi driver waved and gave him a nice big smile. And the man beside him said, why did you do that for? He almost caused an accident. He could have hurt us or he could have killed us. He said, why did you wave at him after he did that to us? The taxi driver looks over and he smiles at his passenger and he said, son, he said, some people are like garbage trucks. They drive all over the place and they pick up all this junk, but don't let them dump it on you. That's a very important comment. There's people that they just love to pick up garbage and they like to stuff it in there and hold it. And they might be moving around on a park bench in excruding pain and they're miserable. And they like nothing better than to dump it on you. But don't let them do that. Your heart's filled with the love of Jesus in your heart. And if somebody does a mistreatment, show them kindness back to them. It happens in the workforce. How are you going to work someplace for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, 2,000 hours a year, and not rub shoulders? It's impossible. You're going to rub shoulders. But we have a prayer every Monday morning with all our people. Before they start work, everybody comes in there 5 or 10 minutes early and they gather in the break room. And we say a little bit about the schedule of the week. We encourage each one to be safe. And then before we go out, we all stand and we have a word of prayer. And it's always my prayer that we would be able to work together in love and be able to rub shoulders and work together and still be friends. I have men that I've worked with for 15 years, and I love them dearly. It's a joy to go to work for me. It's pleasant, and that it can be that way, but you must operate on Christ's principles.